You are listening to the Punk News Podcast. The freestyle era is still in effect. It is now 9:15 on January 11, 2024. This episode will be up by 11 p.m. at the latest. 11/1/2024. It's the freestyle era. We actually recorded an end-of-year episode that I still have to mix. I'm going to mix this week. I've got, I think, three others still in the chamber that I've got to get up. But I've been fighting with trees and whirlwinds and hurricanes. And so... We'll get there. At least we've got new content going up, nevertheless. We've got new content going up.
We do.
New content.
Hell yeah, new content. Never accuse us of not stopping.
Speaking of new content, the Punk News Best of 2023 will be going up on Friday. Woo. And I haven't actually looked at anyone else's yet, so I don't know if Ems is going to shock me or not. Or Sammy B's. I don't know if Sammy B's is going to shock me. I think mine has a few shocking entries. It's got some predictable entries as well. But you got to mix it up. You know, you got to keep things. You know. Well, listen, I'm not even trying to talk smack, but I'm going to talk smack. Maximum Rock and Roll. A lot of the writers are good writers, and a lot of cool music get posted at Maximum Rock and Roll. A lot of cool stuff. But it's all kind of very Maximum Rock and Roll. You know, chain punk, as it were. Maybe some egg punk, and it's like. I've heard this Discharge type band a million times. Is this band really your best record of 2023? It's like, what I like about Punk News is we got the variety, and we got the style. And
yes.
Why am I taking shots? I really shouldn't even be taking shots.
I don't think you're taking shots. I think you're just kind of talking about them.
All right. Maximum Rock and Roll, their lists are kind of bland. That's what I'm saying. I realize they're more punk than us. I realize they love La Vida Es Un Moose, which I do too. I know they love Toxic State Records, and I love all those bands too. But there's more to the world than wearing black leather jackets, wearing chains, and doing cocaine. There's more to the world, and much more.
News to me.
Well, there you go. And more like wearing black leather, wearing chains, and doing cocaine, apparently. And more does not do cocaine.
I do not do cocaine.
And more has never done cocaine. And more says, winners say no to drugs. So anyways, what's happening, Em? What's going on?
I was wondering about this because I don't know. I know it's a thing in like Southern Ontario, but I don't know if it's a thing kind of worldwide, but do you have a like chip truck or a chip stand that you go to regularly?
By chip, do you mean potato chips or french fries?
French fries.
You call french fries chips in Canada? I didn't know that.
In certain circumstances, so if like you're going to like a chip truck, you're going to a chip truck, you're not going to a fry truck.
No, they don't have anything like that in America, and I really wish they did because I love French fries, and I'd be flagging that guy down every 25 minutes.
Okay, because like went today, and like there's a local place, and it's absolutely amazing. But
it's a store that sells French fries.
Yeah, so they started out as a chip truck. And then they got a brick and mortar store. They've been there since the 80s.
What do they sell? I mean,
earlier.
Like, so you walk in, and do they just have French fries, or do they have hamburgers, or what do they have?
Yeah, they have fries. They have fish and chips. They have like chicken fingers. They have burgers. They have all sorts of stuff.
So isn't that just a hamburger place?
No, because it's not primary. You don't go there to get burgers.
Oh, see, well, like in America,
their burgers are good, but like you go there for the fries, and like there's so many places like that around like Southern Ontario, and I was just like thinking about that because like you know going out places, and then it's like, well, we need to eat, and it's like, oh well, there's a chip truck there, or there's like a chip stand there, or whatever, and we just kind of go and get food.
So would you go there for lunch, or would you go there to get a snack?
You can do both. I've done both.
But I realize you, like, would you say, oh, man, like, if you're with your friends and you want lunch, would you say, do we want to go get salads? Do we want to go get tacos? Or do we want to go get French fries? Or is it really supposed to be like a snack and sometimes people just get it for lunch? You see what I'm saying?
I do see what you're saying. And I'm not really sure what the intended purpose is because I think, like the portion sizes of these places are massive. So like you can go for a snack, but it like eats like a meal. You know what I mean?
The closest thing to that in America is on the boardwalk. They have French fry stands on the boardwalk, which are absolutely fantastic and are different than kind of regular French fries. But we don't have like French fry stores, if you will, or French fry trucks, which would be awesome.
I am so surprised because they're like everywhere.
I wish they were everywhere here, man. I would love that. I would absolutely love that.
They should be. You should open
All right, I will. John's Chips.
one.
But see, in America, people think that's
Yeah.
potato chips. So I gotta call it
Well,
John's Fries.
do fish and chips because then they'll be like, oh, I know what that is.
I mean,
That's.
people don't really eat fish and chips in America. I mean, there are places that have fish and chips, but like
Yeah.
it's a pretty rare thing. You know what I mean? Like there's a million taco places, there's a million pizza
Well, yeah.
places, there's a million burger places, but there's not that many like fish and chips places at all.
But it has more than just like, but then you know what the chips are. Like you could just put fish and in like brackets and then just have chips.
But why am I selling fish at all if it's not like that in demand?
You're
Why
not
am I
selling
just
fish at all. It's just for context.
so I advertise fish and chips, but I don't actually sell fish?
Yep.
Is that what you there you go.
That's what you do, right?
Well, that's my next business. John's Fish and Chips, but we don't sell fish. I've never had fish and chips, but I don't really like fish that much, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I'm not a big fish person, but a nice, well-done chip because it's slightly different than a fry. It's thicker and there's more potato to it. And it like
Wait, a ch
soaks in like
a chip is different than a fry?
vinegar.
I thought chips was fries.
They are fries. They're just not like they're done slightly differently and every place does them differently.
Is a chip like a steak fry?
Most places, yeah. So you get a lot more like potato, and then it like soaks in like the vinegar or the gravy or the ketchup or the salt or all of them. They are amazing.
Netherlands is famous for their French fries. And when I was in Netherlands, I went out to eat a couple of times. I went to like not a super fancy restaurant, but a nice restaurant. And by the time I
Yeah.
got out the door, it was like 85 euros because like eating out is like way more expensive in Europe, particularly Netherlands. And I'm like, I mean, that was fine, but I get that in America. And so I just decided to eat French fries and raisin bread for like the rest of the week because it was like cheap and absolutely delicious.
It
And
sounds good.
honestly, by the end of the week, the French fry guy knew who I was. He'd be like, "Oh, you're back." And I'm like, "I'm back." And I gotta say, man, Netherlands rules, because all I did was eat French fries and raisin bread, and I lost 7 pounds. I don't know how that's how it works in Netherlands, and it's freaking awesome.
That
Except
sounds so good.
they put mayo on their French fries, which is gross as
Oh.
hell. I know you're supposed to be like, "Oh, it's actually delicious." No, mayo and French fries is gross as hell. Give me ketchup, vinegar, I'll accept Pittsburgh style. But other than that, you know.
Why is the mayonnaise gross? I've never had mayonnaise on
The mayonnaise of itself is fine. It's
fries.
mayo, but like mayo is not a condiment. Or what's the definition of a condiment?
Something
Let me
you
see what.
dip? Or
Yeah, well,
something
that's
you
not.
spread?
Here we
Because
go.
mayo is a
Condiment.
spread.
A condiment
Like
is
you'd
a
put it on a
preparation.
sandwich.
It's a spread, right? It's a spread, not a condiment. A condiment is a preparation that is added to a food, typically after cooking, to impart a specific flavor, to enhance the flavor, or to complement the dish. At any rate,
Okay.
like mayo in of itself is nasty. Like mayo on a sandwich is good. But mayo just with French fries, it's like, that's gross. That's like, ew, you know? Give me ketchup.
I kind of want to try it now just to see. Like,
I mean,
not on it, but as a dip. Because I've never. Oh, that's not true. I have dipped chicken in mayonnaise, but that was like buffalo chicken. And like the mayonnaise was like supposed to be like the sauce, right?
you know, you're supposed to use blue cheese for that, Em, or maybe ranch.
Blue cheese is gross.
Blue cheese is awesome. Blue cheese is awesome.
Ranch is great, though. I love ranch. I
Oh,
think we were
man.
out of it. So I tried mayonnaise and it was
Ew.
interesting. It was decent.
Ew.
It
Ew.
wasn't
Ew, Em. Ew. That's gross. You should go to
terrible.
jail.
Mayonnaise jail.
Well, speaking of going to jail, I threw a show on Friday. It was Billy, which is the Froggy spinoff band, which includes Brooker Froggy and two young guys. It was Dissidents. No, I'm sorry. It was At Night, which includes Nicole of Witch Hunt. And they do kind of like a witchy pagan punk kind of thing. If you know the band Ayahuasca, they're similar to the band Ayahuasca from the 90s. There was Dissidents, which is like full-on brutal attack, hardcore political punk with some post-punk track, which is really cool. And of
Oh,
course,
neat.
Froggy doing their last show before Brooke, this Brooke, one of the two singers and bass player, goes to Japan for about 4 or 5 months. We did it at Creep Records, which is a very cool record store. Well, actually, there's two of them in Philly and one in Westchester. But the new one, Creep Records Port Richmond, has a venue below. The old Creep Records used to have an awesome venue that we threw about four – by we, I mean me – threw about five shows at before it got closed down due to noise ordinances, which was crazy. So it was real cool to have the new Creep Records open. We could do shows again. So what I do at all my shows is we share a back line. The back line, if you don't know what a back line is, the back line is the drum, the bass cabinet, and the guitar cabinet. Sometimes people will bring their own guitar head, which is what you feed into the cabinet, or bass head, or sometimes people have a combo unit. The reason we share them is because I did – at Creep Records, we had to be done by 10 o'clock, so the show was from 7 to 10, starting at 7:30. So I had to pack in four bands, including Changeover and including my dopey intro, between 7:30 to 10, which was a real shotgun blast. I had about 10-minute changeover between each band. So we were sharing the back line. Froggy was bringing the drums. At Night was bringing the bass cab, and Dissonance were bringing the guitar cab. So that's all dandy and peachy. So I'm driving down to the venue. I actually stopped at Sit and Spin Records because they were having a sale, even though I was supposed to be heading over to Creep Records. And I got a text from Nicole. No, I got a text from one of the members of Dissidents, not Nicole. Nicole's in At Night. She's also in Dissidents, but I got a text from one of the members of Dissidents. And they said, oh, so-and-so in the band is sick, so we can't come and play. And I'm like, well, that's just dandy, because they've got the guitar cab, and they told me literally 2 hours before the show starts. And now I got to get a guitar cab in 2 hours. And I've said it before, the biggest... probably the biggest struggle I have at throwing shows is that I share a back line. Now, we could have everyone bring their own back line, but most people don't want to bring their own back line because it's a pain, and that makes the changeover time go from minutes to a half hour or more. I mean, it really is, and it's always a struggle to the back line, but all the bands never want to bring anything to the back line often. That's not always true, but it's like always like this huge battle and pain in the ass. And I've said to other time people, I said to people time and time again, is it insane that I like to share a back line? Everyone says, no, that's not insane at all. But it's always this massive struggle, and I don't know why. I'm missing a piece of the puzzle somewhere. So anyways, Dissidents were like, well, we're not coming. And I was like, well, that's great. And it'll be more clear coming up. But from my perspective at the time, I was really annoyed at them because from my perspective, saying, well, we're not coming. We're not coming, but we're going to still bring the guitar cab. It was basically, we're not coming, and we're not going to worry about how we screwed you up or not. I'm like, great. I'm like, really great. So I called up Nicole of At Night, and I said, Nicole, we got a little bit of a problem. We don't have a bass cab. We don't have a guitar cab. Can you guys also bring a guitar cab? And then Nicole said to me, no, I can't, and I can't bring a bass cab either because our stuff is locked up with At Night, with Dissidents. And I'm like, so I have only drums. And then I said to Nicole, I said, and I was pretty agitated. I'm like, I feel like I'm the only person trying to solve problems here. And then Nicole, who is a mom, started to basically ran down the litany of mom issues that she had to deal with for being a mom. And Em, you have never heard someone retreat from their position as quickly as I, I was like, I was like, I'll call you back. Let me see if I can solve this on my end. So I called Eric Victor of Creep Records. I said, Eric, I got a big problem, man. I got a show in an hour and a half, and I don't have a guitar cab or a bass cab. All I got is drums. And he's like, well, I have some in my recording studio. And I said, okay, can I rent them? He's like, you don't even have to rent them. Just come. He's like, but I don't know how to get them there. And good thing I borrowed my dad's pickup truck. I don't even know why I did. I borrowed my dad's pickup truck instead of my coupe. And so I'm like, no problem. I got this big-ass pickup truck. No problem. So I shoot on down. And then I get on down there. And I'm calling people back. And no one's answering their phone. And I'm like, problem solved. I take the wrong turn back on the highway, go the wrong way for 5 miles. I turn back around. Finally, I get there. Eric shows up. And then actually, my friend right down the street has got a bass cab and guitar cab. So we're just going to get that instead because that's right down the street. And he says we can leave it at the studio, at the venue. So I said, oh, that's great. So we pull on up, and we grab the guy's like waiting on his porch, and we grab it.
Yeah.
And I like just grabbed it, and I started walking to my truck. And I thought like Eric was going to stand there and talk to him for a few minutes. I would come back and say, "Hey man, thanks a lot. You really saved my ass." But instead, he just went back inside. I'm like, "Oh, Eric, I didn't even thank that guy." And I was like, "Well, don't worry about it." Like this guy, from this guy's perspective, this dude just shows up and takes his gear, doesn't even say hi, just walks
Oh no.
away. So, anyways, so we get down to the venue, which is right down the street, and then it turns out that the base cab is like missing the plug. Like there's no plug for the base cab. And I'm like, oh great, we're back to having no base cab.
Yeah.
And then actually, well, let me take the screwdriver. It might have fallen inside. So he's taking apart this base cab with a screwdriver. And I'm like, oh well, let me see what I can do in the meantime. Well, it turns out that Froggy was already there. Or actually one of the members of Froggy was already there. Brooke, actually. And so I said, Brooke, things are chaotic. We may or may not have a base cab and a guitar cab. And then she says, we can just bring the base cab too because they haven't even left yet. So I'm like, oh, well, that solves that problem. And so I go back up and say, Eric, you don't even need to worry about it. We got a base cab. And it turns out that he fixed that base cab anyways. So we're back on track. We got two base cabs now and a guitar cab and drums. So anyways, the show was billed as Brooke's Bon Voyage because Brooke's going
Yeah.
to Japan. And like the whole theme was Gilligan's Island, which was particularly funny to me because the crowd was so young. Most of them didn't even know what Gilligan's Island was. And some of them thought it was SpongeBob because SpongeBob uses the Gilligan's font, you know? Em, do you know what Gilligan's Island is?
Do because it like showed up randomly on our TV a couple years ago. So my dad's like, "Oh my gosh, we have to watch this." So I know a little bit about Gilligan's Island.
So the vast majority of the audience didn't even know what Gilligan's Island was. I'm like, I don't care. I think it's funny, so I'm doing it. And so the show opened up, and the joke was that Brooke's going on a Bon Voyage, and she gets stranded on an island or something, you know.
Right,
So the
yeah.
show opened up, and actually we had a real good turnout. A lot of people bought tickets ahead of time, and a lot of people showed up. I had Carabo, my main man, working the door. Eric was actually running sound, which was real cool. And oh, and I forgot, right about a half hour before the show, you know, I'm thinking it's just going to be Billy at night and Froggy, because no, yeah, because Dissonance dropped out. I get a
Oh yeah,
call
okay.
from Janine of At Night, and she's like, oh, we just went to the emergency room, and then they weren't really giving us straight answers, so we went to a different
no.
emergency room, and it turns out that so-and-so isn't sick. Oh, no, I forgot. I'm sorry, I forgot. They told me they weren't going to play. So
Okay.
Froggy, it was Froggy's only show ever, and I only gave them 25 minutes because they asked to play the show. Actually, everyone only had 25 minutes except for Froggy, who had 40 or 45 minutes. So
Right.
Billy said, well, can we have more time because one band dropped out? And I said, sure, that's a reasonable request. So I gave him 10 extra minutes, you know.
Right.
Then I get a call from Dissidence. They're like, well, we went to this emergency room and we weren't getting
Oh my
straight answers. We
God.
went to another emergency room. And it turned out that so-and-so actually doesn't have what they thought he had. He just got something that's minor and is not transmutable or whatever, communicable, you know?
Right.
So they're like, we don't know what to do. We want to play the show. And I'm like, well, then come play the show. Just get down here. You know what I mean? And they're like, well, we
Yeah.
don't know. I'm like, well, think about it for 10 minutes, but you got to get back to me in 10 minutes because I got to tell everyone else what's happening. So they get back to me in about 5 or 10 minutes. They're like, well, we're going to come play the show because we want to come play the show. I'm like, that's cool. It's like, well, we just got to go to our practice space to get all the gear. I'm like, we've got the gear. We've got more. And then I get a call from like, t and then I get a call from them 10 minutes later. They're like, we're on our way to get the gear. And I'm like, we don't need the gear. We've got more gear than we need now. We've got double gear. So they finally show up. And so anyways, so
Yeah.
everyone's there and we're back on track, you know, back line problem solved. Everyone's ready to have a good time. And so we play the intro music, which is the Gilligan's Island theme song, and there's loud explosions,
My
and then
gosh.
Van Halen's Unchained starts to play the instrumental version. I come out dressed as Thurston Howell. I wanted to be Skipper, but because this is this is not a high earning event, I really didn't feel like spending like $75 or $100 online to be Skipper for 10 seconds. You know what I mean? So I said,
Yeah.
like the day before, I found, I mean, I was, I you know, I have my top hat that I usually wear and my punk new suit. And
Yes.
I have a cane from some old punk new shows. And actually, the cane that Adam White and I used at Summer Soiree 1, where we tap danced on the stage. And I also found,
Yeah.
I bought, like, I forgot that I bought it at the dollar store years ago. I bought giant glasses that were like dollar bill symbols. You know what I mean? So I
Oh,
said,
that's
fine.
funny.
I'll be Thurston Howell, you know. And I found a bunch of fake money that I bought that I don't even know what I was meant to do with it. So I'm gonna go, I got fake money, a cane, a top hat, a suit, and dollar sunglasses. I'll be Thurston Howell, you know. So there's a big explosion, Unchained starts, and I run out. I'm like, Philadelphia, it's me, Thurston Howell from Gilligan's Island. And I don't think like anybody knew who Thurston Howell was. So then
Oh
I pull the money out of my pocket, and if you recall, at SummerSlam 85, I had Joe Jack Palcom bucks that I threw up
yes.
above the audience, and they drifted down on the audience like a bright spring rain. So I pull up the fake money, but because they had been like sitting in my basement for like a year, they stuck together. So I hurled them out in the
No.
audience, but it hit some kid in the face like a brick, like a wad of fake bills. So I take out the second wad, I hurled the other one, it hit some other
Oh
kid in the
God,
face like a brick.
no.
And then for some weird reason, my glasses on my face broke in half, even though they were on my face. So I grab
What?
them. And like to make some sort of a dramatic move, I like hurled him into the audience, but I think people thought I was being mad. It was like tearing off my glasses or whatever.
Oh.
And so like people like looking at this guy in a suit at the top of it, like screaming. And then I'm like, give it up for Billy, give it up for At Night, give it up for this, and let's give it up for Froggy Man. And then, and then Froggy
Yeah.
started playing. Froggy, they put out one like cassette tape. Actually, they put out a digital album that we sold a cassette tape only at the show of
Oh yeah.
part of that digital album. I mean, the album is cool. They recorded like 69 tracks in one day, and you can tell. But live, they were actually like really like I was actually surprised. They were like really good. It kind of Froggy-esque, maybe a little bit more crazier, a little bit more Angry Samoans. But they opened with like a noise track, and then they played a cover of my favorite Dead Milkmen song, Dean's Dream, which I didn't even know that was my favorite song. And they actually totally like rocked the house, and it was cool. Oh, I forgot. We also gave out Hawaiian Lays. We gave out goodie bags, and we gave out glow braces and all that fun stuff. Then I'm trying to think what happened next. Actually, let's see. Let's see. So then, so oh, but so so. So Billy played 10 extra minutes, which set us back. And that's not their fault. Honestly, I should have told Dissonance, well, I got to cut your time, but I was trying to be a nice guy. So then At Night sets up, and they just take forever to set up. And then they're kind of dicking around. They're like, is this B chord in the right tune? And oh, they took forever to set up. So we're way behind. But then At Night played, and honestly, like I was mad, but like At Night was freaking awesome. Like it's total like anarcho-pagan punk, and they were just totally cool. The kids were, I mean, most of the people were there for Froggy. Also, and give me so
Yes.
the day before, or actually it might have been the morning of, Brooke of Froggy went on the radio and talked about the show, WMMR, and they were like, you should come on down to the show. They said this on the radio, which I was actually
Oh,
pretty psyched out. Now,
nice.
between you and me, Em, because we're the only people that are privy to this discussion,
Yeah. Yes.
that when someone goes on like when a punk artist or metal artist goes on like regular radio and says come to the show, no one listening to the radio comes to the show. Like
Oh
have you ever been
no.
like have you been listening to the radio and it's some band you never heard of and they're like come to the show and you just go to the show? That never happens. But it is very useful because I'm able to post on my social media or whatever, Froggy was on the radio, and so people that are within our sphere are like, wow, this is a really hot show. You see what I'm saying?
Definitely, yeah.
So it
Smart
works actually,
move.
it actually like really works well. Like I've had shows written about in the newspaper. No one's reading the newspaper and saying, oh, I'll go to Summer Soiree, even though I have no idea who the dwarves are. But if I post the dwarves or in the Philadelphia Inquirer, people that are on the fence about actually going will go because, oh, it's like a hot show, you see. So, anyways,
Definitely.
that never happens, except for M. The six, now give me your perspective here. The six gravy wavy kind of style dudes showed up, and I'm like, who are these guys? And I heard them say, we just heard about this on the radio. I'm like, what?
Yes.
So these dudes are like 55, 60. They got the gravy wavy top hat, and like the
Oh
biker
my
jacket.
God.
And so I'm like, listen, I'm happy they wanted to come, and I'm happy they wanted to give us $10 to $15 each. But so here's the thing, Em, is this, a lot of times older people say, well, older people only care about the music from the youth. They should listen to new stuff. Should these guys
Yes.
be complimented for coming to check out the new stuff? Or, Em, are they there because we have a lot of attractive young women aged 20 to 30 and they're there to check out the attractive young women 20 to 30? Or are they there to check out the cool rock music and also see attractive women aged 20 to 30? Is that fair game? What should be my stance? I've no like I have like I'm like, well, it doesn't feel great that these guys are here, but maybe I'm being an ageist dick. Like, why can't old dudes with gravy wavy top hats come check out the hot new punk bands? You know what I mean?
Were they acting creepy in any way, or did they just kind of look at a place?
They weren't acting creepy. They were hanging out in the back, hanging
Okay.
out with themselves, watching the show and enjoying the show, like
Okay.
enjoying the rock music. You know what I, you know?
That's awesome. I think they're there just for the music then. I think they're listening to the radio and like, oh my gosh, well, we haven't gone to a new show for quite some time. This sounds pretty rad. Let's go and check it out. I think that's what their purpose was.
One of them did leave a very positive review on the Creep Records website saying how much they enjoyed the show.
Aww.
Maybe I should just put up a sign, no gravy wavy top hats. You know, it's not,
Yeah,
it's
those are hard to
the,
pull off.
not for me, but for them. It's not a good look. So anyways, so At Night played, and that was real cool. Then some person showed up who was like getting in a big, it was a chaotic evening, and like most of the punk
Okay.
news shows recently have been very smooth, which I'm happy about. You know, like Summer Soiree 1 was super chaotic, but that's because it was the first show we ever threw. But ever since like
Yeah.
Summer Soiree 3 or so, they've been, knock on wood, relatively smooth. This one was chaotic. Some person showed up, and I thought it was like I'm not gonna name the name, but a relatively well-known punk musician was gonna show up with his girlfriend. And I said, I'll put you on the list and you can show
Oh.
up. That's cool. I thought it was his girlfriend. And this person was arguing with Carrabba. I'm like, what is this big? And I thought maybe like Carrabba didn't realize it was that person, so she what he wasn't letting that person in, even though that person was on the list. And the person like ran upstairs. I'm like, man. And
Oh.
so like Carrabba was like all upset, and it's like, I'm like, well, why are you so upset? And he couldn't explain why. So I go upstairs, and Maggie, who works Creep Records, she was upstairs. And I'm like, was that person like really upset or something? And Maggie says, I think they were upset because they thought the show was like $5 or something. And they were like, and they ran outside. I'm like, oh, I'm like, well, why is Carab
Oh.
upset? Like, who gives a shit? You know, like it's $10 to $15. That's cheap enough. If you can't dig up $10, then too bad for you. You know what I mean? So it was a weird scene, but we'll get back to that.
Okay.
So I let's see. I go back down, and then let's see what happened. Then Dissidence played, and honestly, we're like so far behind. I'm like, oh God, you know, because we got a hard sound curfew of 10 p.m. So
Oh, shoot, right.
I could tell Eric was a little like Eric's a really good sport, and he won't ever say that he's unhappy, but I could tell that he was agitated. You know, sometimes people just, like look agitated, and you're like, oh, this dude's definitely
Yeah.
agitated. So I'm like, hey man, is like everything cool? He's like, no, everything's cool. He just acted that like everyone's taking so long to set up when we thought we had it all worked out, you know.
Right.
And so I said, well, can we push it 10 minutes past the hard sound curfew? And he said, fine. So I'm like, oh, cool. And so anyway, Dissidence played, and honestly, like Dissidence just whipped ass, and it was cool because the audience was very young. Dissidence, it's Rachel, who I don't believe he's been in a band before. Bill of the Pissed, he's in the Pissed, a very fairly well, not well, well, a landmark 90s punk band. Janine and Nicole of Witch Hunt, a very respected Philly hardcore band from the early 2000s, and Sean of Mischief Brew on drums, and he's also been in some other bands too. And so honestly, it was really, really cool, and they're very political, and I'm gonna speak categorically, and I'm not sorry I am. A lot of the young people punk bands are very, very cool, but most
Yeah.
of them are more likely to be feelings bands than political bands, if you will. And honestly, feelings bands are probably my favorite kind of band. Like Surfboard is definitely a feelings band, and I love Surfboard. But it is cool to have like the crass anarcho-punk, like we're not necessarily here to talk about our feelings, we're here to talk politics and talk about this exact issue. Vote no on Act 117 or something like that, you know? So it was
Yeah.
really cool to see like these people that would be older brothers and sisters to the audience, kind of representing anarcho-punk and punk at its highest, most intellectual level, which was really, really cool. And plus, I totally whipped ass, which was cool. Midway through the show, the semi-well-known punk musician showed up, and he was kind of distraught. And apparently, he gave his girlfriend the wrong address, even though I gave
Oh,
him the exact address like a week beforehand, and then a week before that. You know what I mean? And I'm like,
yeah.
And so like he's all agitated, and I'm like, just tell her to come here, man. It's like, this is not that big of a deal. Like, just give the right address, you know. And he's all agitated. And then
Yeah.
Dissidence is finished playing, and then that music. I'm sorry. So Dissidence played, and that was cool.
Yeah.
Then I go back upstairs, and that odd person is there again. And I'm like, is everything all right? Like, is there something wrong with the show? And the person says, there's nothing wrong with the show. There's something else wrong with my life. And I'm
Oh my
like,
God.
oh, I can't really help out with that.
Yeah.
just kind of a nutty person, you know what I mean? Like, and then like when I got close, like I could tell like this person is freaked out, you know what I mean? So I'm like,
Oh
well,
no.
I'm like, good luck. I went back downstairs, and so then Froggy starts playing, and I see the other musician's girlfriend. I said, oh, so and so is here, and then she like shrugs her shoulders or something, and then I'm enjoying Froggy. Froggy honestly is
Yeah.
just frigging off, like, man, like. Froggy really is an awesome band, in part because like their songs are so good. So by the time they're playing the shows, 98% of the work's already done because the songs already are awesome. And then, but like live, they're just so good. They're so funny, but they rock. They played a bunch of new stuff that they haven't even released yet, which was cool. They played some of the classics, so it was cool. I get a text from that musician, and he's like really bumming out, and he's like, "I'm leaving," blah blah. And I felt bad for the guy, but also it's like, you know what, dude? I was annoyed because it's like I've got a lot on my plate right now. I'm trying to make the show like work. And did
Yeah.
you come and happen to have a bad time, or did you come intending to have a bad time? You know what I mean? And it's like,
Yes.
you know, like you're my friend, you're my pal, but I just can't deal with you right now, dude. I'm way behind on time. It's crazy here. You know, it's pretty wacky. So too bad. I don't have time to babysit you. You know, so it was
Yeah.
chaotic. So, anyways, so Froggy is really whipping ass. And there's this young kid. I guess he's about 18, 19. A circle pit opens up. And actually, I don't know why, if I would use the word aggressive, but very energetic circle pit of all young kids. And I'm like, wow, like this circle pit is like more action packed than like a lot of metal shows I go to. Like, this is with
Holy.
Froggy, you know?
Yeah.
However, it starts getting like really crazy, and then like they're hoisting each other up on the shoulders and stuff, and which is cool, but like it's a small space. There's a lot that they can get kicked over. So I'm like, oh man, this is getting kind of crazy. So then they start doing, I guess, this kind of new style of mosh, which was kind of weird, where they would go around in a circle, then kind of like move back, and then just sprint full force into the other side of the room. You know what I mean?
My gosh.
Which. Yeah, I don't know how to feel about that because on one hand it's a punk show, it's wild, and I don't necessarily feel punk show needs to be safe, at least in that regards, you know. But on the other
Fair
hand,
enough, yeah.
it's a punk show. This is our only place, and if you destroy a monitor or something, then that's the end of the punk shows. You know what I mean? And
Yeah.
so and interestingly, Em, a lot of the people getting particularly violent were young women. There were some young women are really like
Oh
doing
yeah.
the sprint and like smashing elbows into people, and I'm like, damn,
Hell
you know.
yeah.
Some guys too. So there's one kid that was really, he was really bouncing up and down, and he was getting really crazy, and he does like the sprint crash directly towards where Arik's running the sound, the I don't know what you call it, the soundboard is, you know what I mean? Which that's a
Right.
problem, because if he crashes into the soundboard, A, it's going to knock out the music, B, it might damage thousands of dollars worth of equipment, C, it's kind of not cool. So he lines up for
Yeah.
another sprint charge. And M, I like grabbed him like real tough, and I took so there's a famous not bodyguard, there's a famous bouncer at in Philadelphia Union Transfer. The guy's been doing it forever. He's a real big guy, and he wears
Okay.
biker gloves, and he's tough, and like he's big enough that he can just whip anybody's ass. Like even if it's like a kung fu master, he could just pick the person up and smash him on the ground. You know what I mean? Like even if
Yes.
it's Bruce, like if Bruce Lee wants to beat him up, Bruce Lee's gonna like run at him and throw a punch or a kick. He'll just like take the kick, grab the leg, and throw him around like a rag doll. You know what I mean? But what I notice
Yes.
is with this dude is he never gets upset. He's always ultra calm. You know what I mean? So I said, I'm gonna
Yes.
take it. So I grabbed this kid. You know what I mean? And I pulled him down, and I said, listen, man, it's cool to have a good time. I want you to have a good time. Just calm down a little bit. You know, I want you to have a good time. Just calm down a little bit. And to the kid's credit, he took, like, I was expecting him to be like, fuck you, man. I'm going to have a good time. He's like, all right, man.
Yeah.
All right. All right. And he did calm down. I got to say, Em,
Oh, nice.
on one hand, you know, I don't necessarily revel in being a cop, especially in a punk show. But on the other hand, though,
Yeah.
it was kind of a cool power trip. I grabbed this kid's. Listen, man, we could do it my way or the hard way. Which way you want to do it? And he could, and also to his credit, it was kind of cool that he realized he approached the level of appropriate fun, and you can stay at that level or go slightly down, but we don't want to go above that level of craziness. You know what I mean? So
Right.
it was kind of an interesting moment. You know what I mean? So Froggy
Yeah.
had a wall of death right after that.
Oh my God.
And I had a bunch of balloons that I threw out into the crowd, which was pretty cool. And then eventually, they wrapped. We were like 15 minutes over. I don't think Eric cared that much. I think he was annoyed. But Froggy wrapped up playing. I think they might have played 7-Eleven Nachos at the end. No,
Oh,
after that, they
sure.
played some song I'd never heard before, which was kind of. It might have even been a whole cover. They did a Bikini Kill cover, which was really cool.
Oh, nice.
And so it was just totally rad. And so then everyone clears out at the end of the night, and of course M. John G, the big wig concert promoter, is also John G, the janitor, and I'm cleaning up all the hundreds of the fake bills I threw on the ground. I'm cleaning up all the balloons, meanwhile everyone else
Yeah.
just runs away, which is fine,
Yeah.
and it was a crazy time, and it was a good time, but it worked out overall, except this was kind of not cool. At the
What
end of the
happened?
show, I'm counting up the money, and someone within the chain of, say, three or four people that I trust took about 150 to 300 bucks. I don't know exactly how much it
Oh
was
my
because
God.
we do sliding scale, 10 to 15. But if you pay 15, you get the big goodie bag instead of the small goodie bag. Well, all the big goodie bags were gone. And even with that, the money was still slightly under if all the people that tallied up only did the little money. You know what I mean? So honestly, that kind of
Yes.
bummed me out, Em. It was someone I thought I could trust. And it was kind of like one of my main people,
Oh, that
And like, and
sucks.
I didn't accuse. And oh, here's the weird thing is the person said to me when I got the money, they're like, "Here's the money. Does it look good?" And they've never asked me that before ever. They usually say, "Here's the money." Like, why wouldn't it look good? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
So
exactly.
I'm like adding it up. And if it seems light, and I didn't want to accuse the person of stealing at that point because I wasn't sure. You know what I mean? And it's bad to accuse them of stealing if they really haven't. And so then
Yeah.
like about a half hour later, I'm like looking at the number, I'm looking at the tally people there, I'm looking at the goodie bags, I'm looking at the money. It just even under with the most favorable circumstances, it still is a little short. Under average circumstances, it's significantly short. And then the person
Yes.
asked me again, is it adding up? I'm like, yeah. And then I gave that person a ride home, and then they asked me again. They're like, "Hey, so did all the money add up and everything?" And I'm like, "Yeah, and I was tempted to say I think you stole, but I didn't. But what I was disappointed in myself, and then I should have done it the other angle, which is this is a skill I've learned from some of the very best attorneys. When it's the lion as a lamb approach, is you say, "Oh, cool, thanks for doing this." I don't understand. Can you explain to me how this adds up? Because I'm not smart enough to figure it out. All the while, I am smart enough to figure it out, but I'm letting you build your best story. So you know what I mean? To
Right.
let you bury yourself. I wish I had thought of that in the moment, but it was so crazy. I kind of just said to myself, "Well, I'll just take the hit and just not use that person again." You know what I mean? And at the time I wasn't sure, but after I went home and really had time to sit down and look at the money, look at the people, look at the goodie bags, it's possible, but unlikely. You know what I mean? That
I think
things were on
so.
the up and up. So honestly, I think it got nabbed 150 to maybe 300 bucks, which at a show of this scale, which was kind of a bummer because the show
Yeah.
went from making me a little bit of money to costing me about 50 to 75 bucks, which not the
Oh.
end of the world. But it's a lot easier to throw these shows when you make a little bit of money. That it's we had fun and I got a little bit of money, as opposed to I did all this work and I lost money. You know what I mean? So
Yeah, exactly.
kind of a bummer on that end. So that's the chaos of shows, Em,
Oh my gosh, yeah. So much happening.
A lot happened. A lot happened in 2.5 hours. And then after the episode is over, I can tell you the details that I was vague about on tonight. So
Yes.
that was Brooks Bond Voyage. Will there be another Punk News show? Oh, and check this out, Em. Guess what I found out
Yes.
on Monday after the Friday show?
What?
Creep Records shut down.
What?
No more shows at Creep Records.
Oh
I'm like, great. But it wasn't because
Oh no.
apparently the writing was already in the mail before our
Oh,
show. I'd feel really
okay.
bad if it was my show,
I'm
but it
glad it
wasn't.
wasn't.
It wasn't. It was something else. So, honestly, that's a real bummer. It's because we fight so hard for all ages. Like, I don't ever
Yeah.
want to throw a show at a bar. Throwing a show at a bar is a pain in the neck. It sucks. It's not fun. You got to deal with a bunch of annoying people. Whereas at Philomoka, at Creep Records, here's your money. Let's have some fun. So
Yeah.
that's a real bummer. And I thought I had a lower like Like I love Creep Records, and the cool thing, it's low risk, and that like the rental fee is extremely reasonable. Whereas if I rent out like a bigger venue or something, it's a lot more expensive, you know? So I can take a risk on a wacky show. Like maybe I'll lose $200, maybe not, you know? But so it sucks when those kind of smaller venues get shut down, and so yeah. So that's kind of a bummer. So anyway, Em, that's the high and low of the show. All the bands whipped ass, everyone had a great time. No real bad things
Nice.
happened, but I got ripped off a little. Kind of a bummer, you know. Oh, one other thing I forgot to say is during
Yes.
Froggy set, the crazy kid that I kind of calmed down, like apparently Froggy knew to me. I didn't realize it until at the end. He was one of the members of Billy,
Oh.
and so Froggy's like, we're here with, I forget the guy's name, Mike. I don't know, you know, Mike of Billy. And no, I'm, they didn't say it. They said, we're here with from Billy. What's your name? And he goes, I'm Johnny G. And everyone goes, give it up for Johnny G. And everyone's cheering. And I'm like, I'm Johnny. What's up with that? You know what I mean? Like, I can't steal my name. And so then after the show, he was actually hanging around. And
Gosh.
he was actually real nice to me. He was talking to me. I'm like, oh, so your name's Johnny, John G too? He's like, no, that's not my name. My name's Mike or something. I was just saying that. I'm like, what?
That's funny.
So anyways, Em, that was the chaos of Brooks Bond Voyage. Will there be another Punk News show? Probably yes. There's some irons in the fire for either Summer Soiree or another show. I actually was immediately going to do a Vixen 77 show at Creep Records, but that's not gonna happen now because Creep is shut down.
Right.
So the battle rages onward, Em. That's what's happening.
There will be another, well, like, can they like appeal the decision? Is there anything that can, will they, are they out of shows indefinitely, or can they come back after like a set amount of time?
I don't really give too much detail, but it's not like the police came or something. There was other factors that asked them not to do a show anymore.
Okay.
And so like it wasn't like they got sued or something like that. You know what I mean? It was other
Right.
forces, you know.
Got ya.
So
Okay.
which is annoying because, you know, Philadelphia, like proper guys are going up, and Philadelphia's like, we're the new Brooklyn. We're arts and culture. Oh, except for when we don't feel like it, so let's shut down all the arts and culture. You know what I mean? Like,
Oh,
so,
exactly.
and what's annoying, because Creep got chased out of their old spot because they wanted to put in more condos, which is super annoying.
That's
So,
so stupid.
yeah. So anyway, like usually, you know, the past few Punk News shows have been smooth sailing, particularly Summer Soiree 6, which was awesome. And I'm super, honestly, I'm super glad that show was smooth sailing. But I got a little bit taste of the chaos again, and this was one of the more chaotic shows we've had in a while. So.
Do you want more of the chaos or more of the calm moving forward?
I think I'd rather have the smooth sail. Like
Yeah.
in retrospect, the chaos is kind of funny to talk about. But when I didn't really get a chance to enjoy the show at all because I was constantly fighting the clock
Right.
and dealing with this person that's having a bad time. This person. Oh, and another thing is this kid comes and he's like, "I want to come to the show. Do you take Apple Pay?" I'm like, "No, we take cash,
Apple Pay.
PayPal, and Venmo." He's like, "Well, I only have Apple Pay," and I'm like, "Well, how much money do you have on you?" He's like, "I don't have any money on me. I only have Apple Pay."
Oh
I'm like,
no.
all right. Well, if you want to come in, you can come in. See me at the end of the show. I'll give you my email. If you want to be a cool guy and send me some money, that'd be cool. But I'm not gonna chase after, you know, I'm not gonna be a cop. And so, what do
That's
you think happened at the
nice.
end? What do you think happened at the end of the show, Em?
He didn't see you and he took
See
off and he got to, yeah.
I'm like,
He
did
got
I
a free
try?
show.
I know, what an ass, you know, ripping me off for a $10 show, you know. I only have Apple Pay. You know? Even if you said I got four ones on me, I would have taken it and said fine. You know what I mean? So, but what can
Yeah.
you do? You know, you try to be a nice guy, and that's what happens to him.
He
So,
probably made
anyways,
his night, though.
I honestly probably not though, because like those kinds of guys just want free shit. You know what I mean? If it was someone that was kind of
Yeah.
cool, you know, so just kind of a dirt. But that's part of throwing shows. Like I said, at Summer Soiree 6, I had people I didn't even know. This was kind of fun. This like people I didn't even know texting me, pretending to be bands, adding people to their guest list that weren't the band. You know what I mean?
That's terrible.
That was, I mean, but it was cool
Yeah.
to have a show that was that in demand, you know? And then
Yeah,
Summer Soiree
for
1,
sure.
which I don't know, I'm sure World Inferno, like that show was sold out like weeks in advance, months in advance. I'm sure World Inferno let like 30 people in the back door because the show was insanely packed, and that was the first show I ever threw. So I'm like, oh, I guess
Yeah.
this is what it's like when it's 175 people. And even Eric, who
Uh-oh.
runs the place, Eric Bresler, he's like, How many people, how many tickets do you sell? I'm like 175. And I'm sure he thought this guy totally, you know, and but I've had
Yeah.
175 shows since then, and it have it was like, it's like 80% as packed as that. So honestly, it was kind of not cool of World Inferno to do that at the time, because it was, it made things way more chaotic. But in retrospect, it was cool because it was World Inferno. You know what I mean? So,
Yeah. And you have a good story from it.
right. But don't do that, man. That's not cool. So yeah, it's so anyway, I mean, it was kind of chaotic, and the bands were awesome. I got ripped off for 150 to $300, and we had a great new space that is no more. So there you go.
More all ages venues. Come on.
And so anyway, that's the story, and we'll see what happens next. M knows that I've got one iron in the fire, which might be really cool. So we'll
Hey.
see. And more, we'll just hit a couple of news stories.
Yeah,
Tell
for
us
sure.
about Teens in Trouble.
Yes. Okay. Teens in Trouble. They have mentioned their debut album that's coming out. And now they've announced the details. So it's called What's Mine. And it'll be out on March 29th, I believe. Yes, March 29th on Asian Man Records. So this is Teens in Trouble's first like full-length album. So Teens in Trouble started as the solo project of Lizzie Killian, and now it's like grown into more of like a band thing. Like R Randy Moore plays in it.
That guy's in like 19 bands.
I know he's in like everything. And I believe Mike Huguenour plays in it. I'm just trying to remember like the lineup, but yeah, but it's mainly like
And more,
Lizzie
Mike
and stuff.
Huguenour, what great band was he in that is now the same band? Well, same name, different band.
Same name, different band.
What kick-ass band was Mike Huguenour in?
Well, I know he was in like Jeff Rosenstock, but that's not who you're talking
And
about.
good band, and
Oh, it starts with a K, right? Or am I way off?
classics of love, M. Classics
Oh my
of
God,
love.
right. Oh my gosh.
He
Okay,
was also
I think
in
I
Hard
got them
Girls,
mixed up.
and he might have been in a band called Pterodon, unless that was Morgan. But so yeah,
Right.
anyways.
Yeah, because in the video he holds up a Hard Girls record. So that's really exciting. It's going to be 10 tracks. And they released a video for Playlist, which is their second single off of the album. The first one was Don't Mess With Me, which was released in December and features Stephen Babcock of Pup backing vocals, which is pretty cool. But this one is called Playlist, and it's a really, really cool song. It's great, and it's all about like getting to know somebody by like what they listen to and like, you know, what's your playlist and everything. And when you watch the video, that's what it is. It's like Lizzie's there, Mike Park's there, Bailey Moses of Desert Mambas and Fox Bodies is there, Jake of Sweet Gloom, Lucy Giles of Dog Party, and like lots of other cool people. Mike Huguenour, we already kind of
Also,
mentioned.
Gwen of Dog Party and both Dog
Both of
Party
them,
sisters.
yes, both of the Dog Party family are there, and they're all like flipping, well, the song's playing, they're all flipping through like their record collections and kind of showing off their favorites, and there's so many like really cool ones. There's Fishbone, there's Misfits, the Glen Danzig Misfits,
The
obviously.
Garden, They
The
Might Be Giants,
Garden.
Prince. Exploding Hearts, Beatles, The Harder They Come,
So
Nico,
many.
English Beat, Psychedelic Furs, Cardigans, X, Shannon and Clams, Some Man I Don't Know, Stray Cats, Teens in Trouble, Dum Dum Girls, Night of the Living Dead. Oh, and this goes on
Those
for another 2 minutes.
soundtracks.
Anyway, I
Oh,
really
yeah,
enjoyed this
so
video.
many.
I also liked seeing if I could identify the albums that they only show like a little bit of, because there's another album in front of it, such as
Yeah.
Kebby Gooley, Appetite for Adrenochrome.
They went by so fast. Like, they go by so fast, like, so quick.
Susie True,
Yeah, they got a good shout
Descendants.
out. Two people had Milo goes to college.
No, that you're wrong, Em.
Two people didn't have Milo goes to college. I
No.
remember seeing it twice.
One, oh wait, you're totally right. I thought one was I don't want to grow up. You're right. Em is right. I'm wrong. Milo
Yeah.
Goes to College right now, an incredibly expensive record because Fred Ginn is
Oh.
insane. Starting at like 50 or 70 bucks for a new one. An old one,
That's
100, 200
ridiculous.
bucks. I really like looking at Mike Park's selection because it is all very, it doesn't deviate from the Mike Park formula at all, you know, which I really enjoyed. So yeah,
Mike Park rules.
I like this band a lot. Or actually, I like this track a lot. I actually only have heard the EP. I think the
EP
video is
is good.
awesome. The video is cool because it's like one of these videos you can watch over and over and over to see how much you can catch, you know?
Yeah,
So
it's
yeah,
so
man,
fun.
I think this band is cool. Yeah.
Looking forward to the album. Hell yeah.
Now, there you have it. Here's something else I'm looking forward to. Something also very timely, like Teens in Trouble. The Totally Tubular Tour, which is going to have Annabella of Bow Wow. Actually, I think it's Bow Wow Wow, which is now Annabella, because for a while Bow Wow Wow was not Annabella, but it's Bow Wow Wow, Annabella, Men Without Hats, Modern English, Thomas Dolby, Tom Bailey of Thompson Twins, Romantics, Tommy Two-Tone, and Plimsolls. I saw a previous iteration of this tour. I don't know if it was this tour or like the same thing, but a different tour. It was called like I Love the 80s. It was Flock of Seagulls, Annabella, Animotion, and a bunch of other of those kinds of bands. Of course, I used journalistic impropriety here, and I put Bow Wow Wow as the headliner, but they're not really. They're actually like way down the list. But that's because Bow Wow Wow is friggin' awesome. And I would say Bow Wow Wow is clearly the punkest band here because they started out as a punk band and were managed by Malcolm McLaren. And I would say they are a punk band. If you don't know Bow Wow Wow, Bow Wow Wow is friggin' awesome. And you should check out that the, there's a collection called, like there's a collection that's got like everything they ever put out on Cherry Red Records. They're an amazing band. They're so much more than their 80s one hit wonder, I Want Candy. Oh, that's a good song too. But Bow, like I've seen Annabella now three times, and I could have saw her last New Year's Eve, but she didn't like advertise the show at all. I totally would have went.
Oh no.
That would be like an awesome New Year's Eve, man. It's Bow Wow Wow. Anyways,
Yeah.
instead I said I had to hung out with my stupid friends. So anyways, I'm actually almost it's going to Atlantic City. I'm almost definitely going to the only thing is when I saw Bow Wow Wow with the totally with the 80s tour, it was just Annabella and a backing track, which is a little bit of a letdown because I've seen it with a full band and the full band is freaking awesome. It's probably just going to be a backing track here, but also Men Without Hats, who I've never seen, who this year I became a huge fan of. So I'd love to see Men Without Hats and Modern English, who I've seen before. But you know, people think of Modern English as a very 80s band. Well, I guess 80s in the cliche version of the 80s. But they're actually like not what you might think they are at all. They're actually a lot like New Order and Joy Division and Chameleons and Theater of Hate, like those kinds of bands. Like if you actually listen to the Modern English records, they're so different than I Melt With You. Like that song's an anomaly. I actually love that song, but their actual discography is so much, it's almost Joy Division-esque. Like it's so much heavier than you might think it would be. The headliner is Thomas Dolby, who did She Blinded Me With Science. I don't know how that, how is that guy the head? And the other headliner is one half the Thompson Twins. Like how,
That's an interesting choice.
who's like, I love the, fine. I assume some people like the Thompson Twins, but who's like, I gotta go see the one half of the Thompson Twins. At any rate, Em, this is gonna be a lot of fun. I've seen a version of this before with the amazing Flock of Seagulls and Annabella. And I'm gonna go again. It's gonna be rad, Em. This is a great chance for people to realize that not all 80s bands are stupid 80s bands, and some are actually legit freaking awesome bands. And some are just kind of fun 80s bands, anyways.
Embrace 80s. Well,
I'm
and Men
so.
Without Hats are from Montreal, so I mean,
Well, I
that's
actually
cool.
think they're like Russian or something. I know they've got Russian
No,
heritage.
they're from Montreal.
Well, I know that. Let's see, Men Without
Oh, the
Hats.
yeah, their heritage. I mean, yeah, they might be from Russia, but they're
I
from,
think they might
like,
have been
based
born
out of
in
Montreal.
Russia. It's like twins or something, I think. Let's see here.
I don't know much about them.
Ivan Doroshuk. Let's see. Actually, M, he's not Canadian. He was born in Champaign, Illinois, to Ukrainian Canadian
Ooh,
parents. How you like that, M? How you like that?
dual citizen.
Well, there you have it. Anyways, I'm actually like really excited to see Men Without Hats because
Yeah,
Like I know the safety dance everyone laughs at, but I actually really like that song now. But that whole album, the First Man Without Hats album, is like super good. And whenever I'm like selling records or buying records, and I'm like, wow, Men Without Hats, this record's great. And people look at me like, ugh. Men Without Hats is awesome. But of course, Flock of Seagulls is better, and Men at Work is even better than that. But even so, cool enough. Here's one last story, Em. Tell me
Yes.
what you think of this. So it's kind of a combo story. So a new George Carlin special was released like on Monday or Tuesday or something like that. And it's called I'm Glad I'm Dead. And it's George Carlin. And you might say, how can George Carlin be releasing a new special in 2024 when he died in 2008? Here's how, Em. A online AI platform called Doodzie used previous George Carlin specials to, quote, write new jokes and mimic George Carlin telling those jokes sonically using an approximation of his voice. The way they tried to explain this away was, and I'm going to read their quote, all me, Doobsy, will be doing my best George Carlin impersonation, just like a human being would. Except for when you listen to it, it sounds exactly like George Carlin, although the jokes aren't that good. But it sounds exactly like George Carlin. When doing this, they did not talk to the George Carlin estate, and George Carlin's daughter released this statement. My statement regarding the AI-generated George Carlin special. My dad spent a lifetime perfecting his craft from very human life, brain, and imagination. No machine will ever replace his genius. These AI-generated products are clever attempts at, I wouldn't even say they're clever, at trying to recreate a mind that will never exist again. Let's let the artist's work speak for itself. Humans are so afraid of the void that we can't let what has fallen into it stay there. Here's an idea. How about we give some actual living human comedian to listen to? But if you want to listen to a genuine If you want to listen to genuine George Carlin, he has 14 specials that you can find anywhere. M, what's your take on George Carlin AI?
Oh my God. I agree completely with Kelly Carlin's statement. I think she put things very well. I think this is absolutely disgusting because it's not only is it taking away like creative opportunities from creative people, it's also doing so with somebody who can't object. Like George Carlin isn't gonna, magically come back from the dead and be like, yo, I don't like this, right? The estate is, and that's good. But it's just so icky. Like also, who is going to watch this? Who is going to enjoy this? Who thinks this is a good idea? You know, like his comedy can't be replicated. Right? Like that's something that was very unique to him. And that was something that it doesn't matter if you have his previous work because his next work wouldn't have been exactly like his previous work. So I think it's incredibly stupid. I think it's incredibly disrespectful. And I fear that this is the direction that we're going in, and I want it to stop. What are your thoughts?
I think this is like basically one of the worst things ever. First of all, from a pure taste standpoint, like they didn't talk to the George Carlin family, the estate, or whatever, and they called it "I'm Glad I'm Dead." It's like this is a person that, are your grandparents still around or not?
No.
Okay, so like, let's say someone put out a stand-up special with like your grandpa and said, "I'm glad I'm dead," like with your grandpa that no one consulted you about. Like that's effed up. That's really messed
Oh,
up,
that would be
you know?
awful. Yeah, it would be like any sort of action I could take to be like, get that off, like take that away would be taken.
That's like so messed up. Second,
It's
they're like,
disgusting.
it is disgusting. Second, they're like, it's just like a human impersonation. No, it's not like a human impersonation.
Nope.
Because when someone impersonates someone, A, an impersonator usually actually doesn't actually replicate the person. They do a caricature of that person. Second, if Jim Carrey's being Al Pacino, I know it's not Al Pacino. I know it's Jim Carrey. You know what I mean? So that's totally disingenuous and is a lie, you know? C, it sounds like sonically, it sounds almost identical or identical to George Carlin. So it's not an impersonation. D, it's using intellectual property that he created without the consent of the estate to make new jokes. E, there already is a body of law that's like 30 years old to 40 years old now that is in addition to likeness rights, you can't reference someone and try to sell things based off their implication of likeness without their consent. There's a very famous Vanna White case about this where they had a Vanna White robot and Vanna White, the business interest representing Vanna White won. And what am I up to? F? Where am I? At any rate, this also has really horrific implications in that, like, well, let's say we don't want to get, I don't know, who's a ex Scarlett Johansson. Let's make a fake Scarlett Johansson and say it's an impersonation. Or
Yeah.
even more, what if we say, oh, not in the entertainment context. Let's say there's a politician I don't like. Let's have him doing something highly illegal and just put it out there, even though it's fake. You know what I mean? This is all extremely troubling, extremely problematic. Or it doesn't have to be a politician. Like let's say some creep hates his neighbor. He can make a video of his neighbor doing something bad that he never did. You know what I mean? This is horrific. I can't overstate how horrific and stupid this is. I think laws need to be passed immediately that says you can't. I mean, there are laws about like there are many laws about likeness rights and use of likeness. I guess they're trying to get around it by some sort of parody or fair use angle, but that only works for copyright. There's no such thing as fair use and trademark, with the exception of trademark dilution, which isn't what most people think it is. So I hope these guys get sued to hell. And I think a politician, I think we need very rapid laws about AI because, I mean, this kind of thing didn't exist 3 years ago. It's scary at how rapidly this line of technology is advancing. And we really need to take control of it before it gets out of the bottle. I don't know if it's already out of the bottle. This is so messed up. This is messed up from a legal standpoint. It's messed up from a business standpoint. And it's also extremely messed up from a human standpoint. It's like they just took George Carlin's and made him a dead puppet, and the family just shocked the family. It's so heartless and gross and nasty. And I hope these guys
Yeah.
get smashed into oblivion, and we need laws, really curtailing this kind of thing and controlling this kind of thing. I fear that we may be on the verge of a very deadly precipice, and I think that precipice might arrive at the bottom of our feet much quicker and much more suddenly than we expected to, and without us seeing it coming. I think this is real bad shit, Em. Real bad.
Oh, terrible stuff. Yeah, like, when the people who have had a hand in creating AI technology step away from it because they're like, nope, I've created something that I never should have created, listen to them. Like, don't use it.
But there's other jerks that think this is awesome that want to like push this further. You know what I mean?
No, 100%. And it's like, I
And
don't think they
nefarious people too.
understand. No, 100%. And that's
Let's
already been happening because like there was a case where like they used deep fakes to put not only faces of celebrities or but also like faces of like classmates and just regular people into like porn videos.
That's messed up.
And there was a court case that was brought about because of it. And I don't exactly remember what happened. I believe that the people won against the people who used like their likeness and stuff, but like yeah, like it's happening, and that's the thing where it's like there needs to be a like a kill switch, you know?
Yeah, but the problem is that like, A, on one hand, businesses are making a lot of money off AI because it's quote doing a lot of work for them. So you got to fight against that. And the other side, there's creeps, both creepy people and also creepy governments, North Korea, China, that think this is awesome and are trying to make fake stuff. You know what I mean? So it's I mean, we need to be very proactive about this, and I don't think we are. So it's bad news. Let's cap this off with a related story. Flavor Flav of Public Enemy released his first solo track in a long time, probably about 10 years. It's called Everywhere Man, and it appears to be a standalone single. The last we heard from Flavor Flav and Chuck D is they were suing each other, but I guess that's sorted out because Chuck D's on it. The weird thing about this track is there's at least 22 versions of it. The other 21 versions or more are in different languages, in Greek, Italian, Arabic, and also Amharic. However, I believe the alternate language versions were created with AI again. So, M, what did you
Right.
think of this track? And what did you think of them using AI to create alternative language versions? And what do you think of the Chuck D Flav battle? Like, I guess that's over.
Yeah, I guess they figured out whatever they were suing each other over. I don't remember what that was. Like, was it the use of public enemy? Like, what, why were they suing each other?
I'll tell you, it was a weird thing. So what happened was, and I don't know exactly what caused it, but
Right.
I actually, so a lot ha like we don't know exactly what happened, but here's the surrounding circumstances. Chuck D agreed for Public Enemy to do a benefit for Bernie Sanders that wasn't
Okay.
run past Flav, and Flav was mad that it wasn't run past him, and said, "Well, don't say that I support Bernie Sanders because I never said that, you know." Now,
Okay.
and Flav was clear, and that like that doesn't mean I support Trump. I can't stand Trump, but I don't agree to support Bernie Sanders. And frankly, I think it's because he didn't get paid, and I can respect that. You know what I mean? But then, so then Chuck said, "I'm firing Flav from Public Enemy. Flav's out of Public Enemy." Then Flav said, "You can't fire me. I'm a shareholder in the band." Or
Right.
actually, maybe the lawsuit. And so then Flav was suing Chuck for accounting and royalties and that kind of thing, saying Chuck was pocketing more than his fair share. Then Chuck released an album as Enemy Radio, which was just Public Enemy without Flav, which was really bad, honestly. Then Chuck said, "Ha ha, it was all a big joke, and that it was." In that Flav and I never were really fighting. This was all a big stage thing to show that the media is fake because they believe
What?
this story, right? And I made it up. And it's like,
Oh my
so what you
gosh.
proved is that if you lie to the media about you, they'll post what you said, you know? But then Flav said, "That's not true at all. Chuck, we never agreed to any sort of scheme. I'm actually suing Chuck because he owes me money," which honestly like made Chuck
My
drop like
gosh.
five levels in my eyes, because Chuck often presents himself as an intelligent, informed guy, and he had this zany scheme that was so easily disproven and backfired. It's like, well, you actually come across as pretty stupid if you thought this would work, you know? And that's where
Yeah.
we left off with Public Enemy. So I guess they're pals
Okay.
again.
Maybe Chuck D being on the track is some in some way related to paying Flavor Flav back
Could be, could be, could
somehow.
be. Not a bit, not a, just like that actually has happened multiple times. Like when Marvin Gaye got divorced, his album "Hear My Dear" was supposed to, the royalties went to his wife to pay his wife.
Oh,
Similarly,
sure.
John Lennon got sued by some 50s rock writer, and so on his next album, he covered three of that guy's songs as a way to pay him back as part of the settlement. Very well could be true, Em. Very well could be true.
And the whole Willie Nelson IRS thing.
Will he do a concert, or what happened with Willie?
He did, like, he was so, like, he paid somebody to manage his money, and the person didn't do it properly, so he owed the.
You know, I know he owed the IRS and they were like foreclosing on it, but like, what did he do
Yeah.
to solve it? Do you know?
Oh, he released an al he recorded an album of song, like, not new songs, songs that he was, like, performing live by himself. And released it on IRS Records, which the IRS became his record label and was pushing his album to like get people to buy it so they could get their money back.
That's funny.
Yeah. He also like negotiated it down from like 30 million to six or something.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, but that could be why like they're kind of friends again.
Could be, could be.
But the different language versions are really strange.
Right.
They do not sound like Chuck D or Flavor Flav. They sound like a machine. You know, when you do like a tra Google Translate this and then you hear
Right.
it, it's like that. Also, like, why 22 over 22 languages?
I actually don't like. I actually don't mind the gimmick. Like, if they actually
Yeah.
recorded it in like 20, I think that's kind
Well,
of
that
funny
would
and
be
amusing.
cool.
And no one's, I mean, you know, David Lee Roth famously did a Spanish version of his first album. The Beatles recorded some tracks in German. The Rolling Stones recorded a track or two, and David Bowie did a track or two in Italian.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I thought that'd be, but the AI does seem icky, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, like, no, I agree. It's a cool idea if it's done well.
What do you think of the original track, though?
Like, it was just okay. Like, I wasn't really expecting the like I've been everywhere man thing, so that was kind of funny. I liked that.
I thought it was pretty good, but honestly, like people don't realize that like Flavor Flav is actually a what do you call it? Somebody that can do anything. A savant. He's actually a savant. He can play
Oh,
like
right.
30 instruments, and he's actually like a really smart guy, and he's actually a really good songwriter. But he's so talented, he rarely actually puts the work in, you know?
Fair.
And so I actually thought the song was okay, but like the refrain just keeps repeating and repeating and repeating. I'm like, I feel if you would put 2 days more work in the songwriting here, you could have made this okay song. Like the kick-ass Flav is backtrack, you know.
Oh, definitely.
So, anyways, I like the Flav. At this point, I like the Flav better than Chuck D. The whole lying debacle, or anything, which I think made him look so terrible. So, anyway,
It
that's
did.
Flav. I would definitely go see Flav live solo. Actually, I would love to see Flav live solo. I think Flav is hilarious and cool and funny. And any last word you want to leave the listeners with?
Support your local chip truck.
Good answer. Good answer. And we'll see you next week.